The WhatsApp message says the tax that I talked about was allocated to the NCF for crop over NIFCA and to the Sports Council. It approximated about $4 million to the NCF per annum. It was for 1 cent tax that was put on petroleum. So that's to tell you how much we actually use. And I thank the person who sent that to me because I know they would know the figures. I got the Thursday moderator has turned up, so I just want to clear up some things. Mm-hmm. I know he had an appointment and he told me he was going to try to finish in time. So I gave him some time and I took the mic for a while from you. My apologies for taking up your time, but I got to do this as well and take up your time. Good morning to all. Dennis Johnson has become very nasty these days. Dennis Johnson needs to stop and take a good look at his attitude. I've heard you tell people on the program, don't tell me, but you don't want anybody to tell you the same, please. The other one says, I know you'll not read this. I bet you'll not read this. You just lost the bet. I think you're very unfair and rude to Miss Roland Bowen. After all, who is a road safety expert? You owe her and the public an apology for that one. If a person wants to talk all the time, the only thing he learns is what he knows already. My respect to you. And my respect to you too, sir, or madam. Let me say this, okay? I have been told about my rudeness before. I've also been told I have patience. 50-50. I take the blows when I take it, and I give it when I give it. I was trying to make a point that somebody has sent an email outlining, and that's the steps that were taken by insurance companies to try to correct some of the issues with their drivers. I have seen cars with stickers saying, how's my driving? Call. And I have called because one of the cars I saw doing foolishness had an insurance sticker on it. And the person at the insurance company says to me, we know the driver. Just confirm that the number is XXXXX, and I said, yes, it is. They said, good. We will take care of that, because the person was driving the SUV and bouncing the back all over the road, and it wasn't a wet road, it was a drive road, okay? We also have, at Bushy Park, a defensive driving program that has been started. All this in an effort to try to get people to correct their behavior on the road. The Road Safety Association have done their work, some of their work. Some of the things they've done I've not agreed with, and I've said so on the program. They're distractions to the driver too, because you take your eyes off it to look at what's been put by the side of the road. That's my feeling. I don't make it a public issue, it's my feeling. I talk to them in private. I know some driving instructors, and I know what they tell their students. And they usually say to me, driving, student drivers are good drivers. And then you put them on the road. Tiredness. People who work in our industry, Mr. Clark sitting across from me, can attest to this. If you've done 48 hours in a row, you stay up all night doing coverage for a hurricane, and then you try to go home at 3 o'clock in the morning, dead beat. Tiredness on the road. People who drink power drinks to keep them going and then come down off of the high. We have all that on our roads. Added to that, the sawed-off cars, people driving with a donut and three wheels that are 22 inches wide. I understand Charmaine's passion. I share it. It is a life. I got children on the road. But we can't ascribe blame to one sector or point fingers at another sector without saying this has to be more. And I agree about the educating people, but they will have to want to learn. When you have a driver on the road with 27 or 37 convictions and they're still on the road, it is not only an education process. We got to fix a lot of things. And the person I was trying to remember is Bruce Golden, the Jamaican Prime Minister, who, after taking over, said, bring back the money. And people ask, why? We're making money in Miami. There's a gentleman who owns a string of hotels who did quite well in that transaction. He used to write U.S. checks to pay off the central bank's requirements for a particular day. Mr. Lane, your Thursday moderator is in the chair. And thank you, Ronald Clark, for taking care of things technical. I will switch chairs and my rudeness will go over to the other side. And to those who would like an apology, I will tell you what I said to my father one day. It takes a big man to apologize when he's wrong. It takes a bigger man to apologize when he's not wrong. You have my apologies.
Just going 11 minutes before 11 o'clock. I want to say a blessed good morning and thank you, Dennis, for holding down the chair from one hot chair to the other hot chair. I tell you, you barely step out for half an hour and what happens? Well, rumors of my ascension have been greatly exaggerated. So here I am. The Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks continues and we go until 1 o'clock this afternoon. I don't even know if I have any prefatory remarks. I think I just want to get down to brass tacks, find out what the callers out there, what you're thinking, what your experiences, what you presently want to talk about. So, good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Hey. I just wanted to know, moving a different direction, because I listening to the situation with the lady, Miss Wing and Dennis, she spoke, she asked Dennis a question, Dennis asked her a question, and then Dennis proceeded to explain to her the insurance and what the insurance were pursuing. And from the time Dennis mentioned insurance, she cut back in and really didn't give Dennis an opportunity to expand on his point. So I don't know if Dennis was necessary. Well, no, I don't know. In my view, Dennis wasn't rude. So I'm going to share that view with others. That said aside, now I am wondering whether or not the Prime Minister Fungoscar and his team were just exhausted and just felt like we have to contest the election as a formality, but we really, damn if we do, damn if we go bringing back the election. And let me say why I'm of this view. 72 hours after taking office Monday, Tuesday, yesterday, Mayor Motley and her team visited the South Coast Source Project. I observed the Minister of Health, Foreign Affairs, Tourism, the environment and such like, and all the technocrats that come along with that, walking with her. Turn around, I went to the St. Lawrence Primary School, spoke to the principal, check on the students, visited the Grimm Hall near the sanctuary and other environs. After 72 hours of being on the job, that is an indictment to the former Prime Minister and his team. That shows lack of decisiveness, possible leadership, and so on and so forth. I suspect that if the St. Joseph issue with water was facing the country, Mayor Motley and her team would do the same thing. I don't think it was done for optics yesterday necessarily because she won the government. So there's no need now to use it as a campaign ploy. If she's making a foundation for the future, well, foundation well started. So that is my view. In the interest of time now, I also of the view, given this discussion that we're having during the election about this Nigerian billionaire and the charges made, I want to say this as a citizen. If indeed this person is a real person, I would want the current government to open the possibility for we are international investment jurisdiction. That terminal limited that was supposed to be sold between Rubis and Seoul or Seoul alone, I would want for the government to engage this guy or his team or other investors, to look at whether or not this is something they want to come into the mix with, because I do not feel that these things should not be given an opportunity to be vented in the international community or local interests if they have the resources to take on these things. That is my view, Corey. There's a lot more you can get into, but as I say, in the interest of time, given it was holding, I will part on that.
I'll let you go with this one parting one, and that is that if you notice and you check, you realize that Prime Minister Motley actually has the Ministry of Investment. I found that very interesting.
So can I come back in there?
Go ahead.
Right. So, because I don't want to let your first point be dismissed. Not that you're dismissing it. Mm. I don't even know if that was necessarily the thinking, but I'm just saying, and try to understand me, this is not a pro-government position. This is just simply this. the charge was made that if this guy came, why is he talking to the opposition leader and not necessarily Minister of Finance? This is a fair question, but I'm up with you. If you're in Vesco, Corey, and you go to Miami tomorrow, right? You're not Juki Bonk to speak to the mayor of Miami about investment. You may want to speak to other parties, maybe the opposition. You don't know necessarily opposition will win against government, but my point is that you're free as a citizen or investor to discuss your interests with whoever. But I'm just saying, I know that they have the government on the issue of BNTCL. I would like the opportunity to be extended to other interests in pursuit of acquiring that. Mm-hmm. And on the issue of the former Prime Minister and his team, I just find it uncomfortable to think that after 72 hours, something that was so simply done could clearly have been done, the St. Joseph issue. So these are charges that the public made towards the former government in terms of not getting out there and addressing issues. Everybody had their own management still. I just think that this proactive, decisive position is admirable. And that's it, really.
I don't think we can disagree with you on that for sure. But just to go back to the point and then come to your final point, because I like all the points you would have made thus far this morning. I like to discuss possibilities, but I don't like to dabble too much in speculation. So the reasons why they were meeting and not meeting and so on is things I believe either would need to be investigated or left alone. But
Corey,
the point I was making
Corey,
to you...
Corey,
no,
Corey,
you,
Corey,
you,
Corey, 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 Corey. Mm-hmm. Remember I said initially, mm-hmm. if this person was a real person, that mm-hmm. basically covers the possibility that it may not have been that.
But it is a rare person because remember that a letter was sent in relation from a legal person representing the real person. But what I'm saying is, though, sir, just let me make the point, because I think we are making the same point, but you're not allowing me to make the point to understand where it is I'm going. I'm saying to you that your wish to have the look into investment on behalf of bettering Barbados is very much a possibility, because I see the fact that Prime Minister Motley taking the Ministry of Investment as just that, a vision of hers really to grab hold, to grab the bull by the horns in relation to investment going forward. So I think as you've been saying all the time, in the interest of time, I would let us go on, because the final point you made, I wanted to pick up as well, but let's move the program along. This is
thank
the Thursday edition of Dr. Brown Stats, and thank you to caller. We're back on the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Stats. Let's take another call. I have a message here from Trisha Watson. I ain't getting on to the bottom yet, so I know which pick she got, but she said I could read it and call her name. So congratulations in advance, Trisha. Good morning. Welcome, Brass Stats. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah. And you?
Are you okay?
Okay, you didn't sound too okay, but go ahead. Sounds can be deceiving as well.
Well, I think that you'll be happier than me.
Mm-hmm. Why would you think that? Well, I have life.
Okay, yeah, and I have it abundantly.
Mm-hmm. You know about that
right.
part, but go ahead.
Well, your first caller, mm-hmm. I would say that I would expect that anyone that in opposition to learn from the government, and that is what the I don't think it was ever Mrs. Stewart government, right? I think it was David Thompson government. Mm-hmm. David Thompson came in, and he learned from the mistakes of the former government. Mm-hmm. So he was, because nobody that got good memories would say that the Barbados Party in its later years in government, in office, when after government, wasn't beginning to act kind of arrogant and then don't want to really listen to what people have to say. And then when David Thompson went in the government, then you see that change, then he was engaging. But unfortunately, he passed away too soon. Mm-hmm. And to me, he was the soul, the last spirit that really understand the democratic that Errol Barrow built, right?
Because so by extension, what are you saying then?
By extension, yeah. That what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the former prime minister said he took the blame. Mm-hmm. And before he even took the blame, I I even predict on another program that, especially if St. John go, he's attacked the blame. So there's no more to beat him on. But I don't know.
I mean, further to that, you saying that David Thompson being the last of the Arabar era and understanding the soul, I think by extension we can extrapolate from that, that you could be hinting at the death of the Arabar Democratic Labour Party. Because if you have the last going, that signals really the death of the philosophical Arabar DLP. And I want to know if that is what you're in essence saying.
Well, there's still hope, right? Mm-hmm. But I could see it taking time. And I don't really totally agree with what I heard some pundits say about all the old girls need to go. I would say the older ones that reach that at that age, they could go, right?
But I think that is where we always messed up. I think that one of the planks in the victory of the Barbados Labour Party is the usage of their old guard, their stalwarts and so on. When they had, I think, a conversation with the elders, where you had people in there, the Billy Millers, the Richard Cheltenhams, they went back to the elders who can offer a wealth of experience. And if I may, let me link it to something that you said earlier. I don't think that David Thompson only learned from the last administration. I think that he probably learned from the last three administrations. Because one of the things I noticed with the Democratic Labour Party is that throughout the thick and the thin, one of the things that I saw them on a mission not to repeat 1991. I think they went on a way so much to do that it actually turned out worse than 1994 for them. And I think that what we need to do is, how do we blend youthful exuberance, creativity from the youth, with that experience and sound knowledge from those inexperienced? I think we need to do that not only in political parties, but in all the institutions in Barbados to strengthen them. We always have this thing where the older persons keep out all the younger persons and their ideas. We don't do it so, it's not happening so, and try to push down and suppress that energy. Or we have a whole set of upstarts kicking out the elderly. I think that both does not argue well for any institution whatsoever.
Well, I am no, in no stretch of imagination, would say that Christopher Sinclair need to go. Because I think he's, to my mind, the one that show the leadership more so to me than the Prime Minister. And he take the blows that a Prime Minister would take in a crisis. Mm-hmm. But, and I think that the wise thing was, what that should have happened is Mr. Stewart let him lead the party into the election.
But what do you say to the people out there that say that his brand is so damaged because he is responsible for one of the biggest problems in Barbados, which is the economy? He's also placed a number of promises on the table that just simply were not fulfilled. CLICO will be settled in June. CLICO will be settled in October. CLICO will be settled this year. Four seasons will get going. What do you say to the persons that say, no, we cannot allow him to take a reign because his brand and his actions will be detrimental to the future DLP? How do you respond to those persons?
Well, you can got those people. You can got the haters and so on. I know that there's promises made, but you still can listen to what they had to say. I listened to what they had to say, and that's the problem with them, that they weren't talking. But during the campaign, they was explaining certain things and why.
Too little, too late.
Right. Yeah, you can say that. But I still believe that Chris Sinclair got a future, right, as a leader in the DLP. And to me, I don't see nobody else up with the experience right now. Because if you take out, as you say, if you take out all the old guards and bring you fresh ones, that would take a long time for them to actually win back a government. So to me, I believe that they should swallow the pride, take the offer of sending two people in the Senate. I know who that would be, but I still say that Chris Sinclair still could go, right? Some people will say no, and still we will see what could happen from there, because they need an opposition. If Beijing's glad because they ain't got to ask opposition, I think that's being ignorant. There's still
most people that I've spoken to, they're not glad about that at all. I can tell you. I can tell you that. I'm not pronouncing on Mr. Sinclair. I do think that he is a person who can really, you know, get things done and so on. So I am not pronouncing on that whatsoever. What I am saying, though, is that I wanted you to separate your emotion and like for the person and your intellect in terms of actually assessing that person's performance and then try to come up then with a recommendation for Barbados. Because a lot of the times when this discussion started for me, I was like, you know what, this is a party's internal business, let them settle it. But I think it's more than that. It speaks to national democracy and national governance. So I do believe that we need to have this kind of national discourse on this.
But, Corey, I already being emotional, really. Yes, some of that.
Some is emotion. Some is emotion.
Right. I can hear it coming out. You must understand that the DLP had a challenge. And Ms. Martlett, some people will say the Prime Minister now, her time, this is her time. But she didn't wait for it gracefully. She was always campaigning from the time they lost the government till now. Right now, she ain't got a free opportunity, like, then opposition, really. So she got an opportunity to be more relaxed, to do what she got to do. The DLP didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Plus, right now, you can see business people, like, they're ready, mm-hmm. right? The business people, the unions, and everybody ready to work. So it seems like the DLP was always the underdog government. You know,
very good observation. And yeah. I have been spinning that around in my mind on both sides mm-hmm. of my head, or the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. And like you, I have not come out casting aspersions. I have come out asking questions. Because at the victory of the Barbados Labour Party, it seems as though, to me, this is my observation, the unions, the private mm-hmm. sector, the media, of which people say I am a part, mm-hmm. like they're ready to play a ball, like they're ready to settle down for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah.
I have lived in a country where it feels as though the last 10 years has been an election campaign. Three, four yeah. days after the elections this time, it feels as though the country is breathing again. Mm-hmm. It has exhaled. That is the way I feel. But I ask myself the question, Was it a wicked ploy by the persons and entities that I mentioned? Or was it the fact that the Democratic Labour Party contributed to the whole fact of people not working with them in terms of even having suspicions towards the people and kind of build that animosity? Or was the animosity always there? And I think that we really have to sit down and have an honest dialogue, even if with ourselves, about that.
Corey, I would say both. Both, yes. But with a leader like Mrs. Stewart, right? Yes, I will agree that it was a democratic problem. But still, the business class and union could have seen the situation that we under and still work with them. But it seemed like they don't want to get rid of them because they don't think that they was capable of doing the job.
But then, I'm glad you said both, because I asked myself those questions and I came up with the whole idea of both as well. And then I said to myself, then the ball is placed squarely and fairly into the leadership court, because if someone has that animosity towards you, I can pay a wage, we're not talking anything. What do? You try to use your charisma to try to bring them around. You use your negotiation skills to try to bring them around. And I think that is where they fail. They wait on them to kind of create the gap between them and the various social entities in Barbados and the other pillars of Barbados and the other estates of Barbados. That is how I felt about it.
But while I left you with this here, right? Mm-hmm. I noticed that all the DLP leaders just be crucified, while the Barbados Labour Party ones just be worshipped like gods. So I'm asking Bajan to give fair criticism when the time is due. Because since we ain't got the opposition, as the Prime Minister said, we can be that opposition. I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you too, Mr. Leader of the Opposition, Metaphysics. This is Dr. Rastas. The WhatsApp goes, there are many worthwhile discussions among Barbados Facebook users offering up excellent suggestions for our nation's development. The new cabinet should set up Facebook groups for each ministry. employ a social media manager responsible to the cabinet to control filtering and should regularly review the people's suggestions. This, along with mandatory publication of proposed policies and program initiatives, should garner a treasure trove of ideas. Hashtag National Brain Trust. Hashtag National Collective Responsibility. Signed, the one and only Tricia Watson. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Stats. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're Corey?
Yes, please, I am.
Oh, I was waiting so long, so long. Okay. And just after the first caller, Mr. Rice Boyne spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And good morning to Mr. Johnson and you. And
yes,
I hope I make Mr. Johnson's day now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody called in and said he owed her an apology, but he doesn't owe her any apology. I was listening from the time that program started. And on two occasions, Mr. Johnson, she was just rattling on and on and on. I would like her to listen tonight and hear herself. It was terrible and disgusting and disrespectful to Mr. Johnson. He was trying to get in twice to explain something to her, and she just rolling on that Mr. Johnson couldn't do. I said that lady would not even give Mr. Johnson a chance to speak. And with her portfolio she has, she should not be like that. She should listen. I think Mr. Johnson is a cool man. He listens to you, and then he speaks. And the person I don't know who called in and said she owes him an apology must be her friend. But I was listening, and I said, oh, my dear, that woman sounds so bad. And she, her attitude, she was so, you know, aggressive.
It was someone who had written in. And
yes.
I guess it is an opportunity for both Mr. Johnson and Ms. Boeing to really look. You know, you look at yourself and you see where you're going. Because sitting in this chair, I can tell you, sometimes you get in two words, and people accuse moderators of it. I am one who steps back because I acknowledge, you know what, it is a calling program. I am just here to facilitate and moderate. We want to hear the opinions of the people. But at times, I think you have to hear from the moderator to get context sometimes. Sometimes just to get a little bit more out of you or so on, you know. And sometimes by the time you say two words in this chair, people go on again down the road, you know. Flag in the hand, the guy down the road in the back of the hand.
Yes,
so I understand it, I tell you.
Mr. Johnson, he was very fair with her and not partial. He was very
I was listening coming down, yes.
I felt for Mr. Johnson. I said, Lord, she's not even giving Mr. Johnson a chance. Two or three times
he wanted. For the time he went silent, I know trouble was brewing.
I am going to let you wish you a happy day. I said, that was good. Let her go home tonight and listen to how she sounds, and I hope she would try to change that attitude, because she cannot go on the air speaking to people like that. And wherever she go in meetings, she has to control herself. So that person was wrong. And Mr. Johnson did apologize, although he wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I give kudos to him. He's a man I listen to, and I respect him. And he's very, very fair. I don't know him personally, but I just listen to him on the radio, and he's very, very fair. One more point I have to say, of course. So I hope that makes him day and tell him not to worry. Another point I want to say is about the party. I want to wish Ms. the Right Honorable Mayor Amora Motley God's blessings, and her team God's blessing right through, and she has won victoriously. And I want to say she was never distracted, but she said she would not be distracted by the DLP. When she was out there rubbing shoulders and going to find out about what the people want and their needs for the island, they were on their political platform ridiculing her. So they would have seen now what they should have done, the same thing she was doing, they should have done. And you know what I look at, Corey? The former prime minister, when they had the water wars in St. Joseph and all the problems, he wasn't anywhere. He never came out and speak to the nation. He never came out and rubbed shoulders. You know, the only time we hear the prime minister is now that the election was going about to call. That is the most time he was talking. And I cry shame of those, his cabinet, who disrespected Miss Motley, and by large, all the women in Barbados, especially Mr. Blackett. He should have been shamed. I see he's a minister of social transformation. God's blessing to Miss Motley and her team, and I'm praying for them. I know people say she wants power, but she doesn't need power. She has it already. She wants to see her island come up out of the gully and come back to where it was because she loves Barbados. Thank you, Corey, for my time. And tell Mr. Johnson a pleasant day to him, too.
He's listening and listening with big smiles. So he takes your blessings. I want to say something on the point. So because I'm getting a lot of messages here about the conversation with Ms. Roland Boyne. And I want to say, again, let's pull a learning and educational experience out of this. Sometimes we let our passion get the best of us. And in Ms. Roland Boyne's case, I think that because she's so passionate about what she wants to speak about, she probably forgot the rules of engagement in a dialogue. And I think that what has happened then is if you look at what happened, the worst thing that could happen in an instance like that is that what she said is not resonating with people. People are now talking about whether Mr. Johnson or Ms. Roland Boyne was right or wrong. So then all the message about road safety and how you can save a life goes down the toilet. And now we engage now on who is right and who should apologize. And that is not what you want. And I think everybody listening right now can draw a lesson from that in terms of sometimes when you shout, you are heard, but when you whisper, you're listened to. And take that as a lesson going forward. The other thing about that the caller said is that the Mrs. Stewart was not there with the sewage and so on. And again, we can look at a learning experience out of this, and that is the different styles and how these styles work. And your personal style should match a national style. I don't care anybody tell me, because you're leading a nation of people. I remember having inside information and understanding that Mr. Stewart was meeting with various officials responsible for the sewage problem, the South Coast sewage problem, and had determined to let them deal with the issue, and that was his style. The problem with that is that you are not fixing the South Coast sewage project on behalf of yourself. It is not your toilet that you are fixing. You are fixing a problem that affects directly the people on the South Coast and nationally the people of Barbados. So I don't want to let it go. He wasn't doing anything, or he wasn't there. He was there in the background telling himself that the correct thing to do, according to his style, was to let the plumbers plumb. But I believe that you should let the PR people do the PR so that the country is comforted that at least something is being done. Because the problem is still there, but I am sure that people feel better today knowing that someone has shown up on the job. Lots more to say as we go to 1 o'clock. 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning and welcome.